The great rivalry that ignited in the early 60s became hopelessly one-sided as the years wore on. But the fuel for this epic feud was rooted in more than just wins and losses. The two franchises were different, and the friction between them grew decade after decade.
Well, I always felt, even before I came to the Chiefs, the Raiders and their arrogance were something that irritated the Chiefs early on. But I can tell you without question, it irritated Marty Schottenheimer.
That was the team to beat within our division. You put that big red dot on that team from that point forward to go, I don't care what it is, that's the team you're going to beat.
The Raiders were good. They were a good football team, so it meant something when you beat them. And the Chiefs did it regularly.
10 out of 11 times, Schottenheimer has beaten the Los Angeles Raiders.
When Marty Schottenheimer got here, it was unbelievable, the domination. It never happened, ever, that one team so dominated the Raiders.
I always asked him for 10 years, you know, what did the Raiders or Al Davis do that upset you so greatly?
All Marty ever said to me was, I don't like people that think they're above the law.
Jeff Smith taking on tacklers. Robinson got him, and it's going to be close to a first down. Now a fight starts up. We've got Chiefs and Raiders going full tilt. Big fight going on to 23. Big fight. Major slugging.
Marty Schottenheimer has said more than once that he thought Lamar Hunt was the finest man he'd ever met. And he viewed Al Davis as disrespectful. For Marty, it became a crusade.
We'll wear him down. Let's go. Let's wear him out.
He knew it was extremely important to Lamar, that history, that series, and therefore it became extremely important to him. And it showed.
He's got a touchdown! 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 Kansas City! Monday night, Kansas City Magic has struck again!
You know, there's this almost irresistible temptation to think your team is not just better, but there's better people. We have more character. We do things the right way. Well, in that instance, that might have been a little bit true.
This is us. We got our people. Let's light the fuse and kick some ass.
Marty was a master motivator, and in the Raiders, he had a villain. He had somebody to point his team towards and say, look, we take those guys out. We're better people for it. There was really a sense of good and evil, and I think that played a big role in them coming together as a team and a franchise.
Let's build our house. Let's go.
Focus and finish. Boat's loaded, man. Let's roll.
The Raiders had gone about business the wrong way. They had been a cheap shot team. They didn't represent the spirit in which the NFL should be played, and that when his team took the field, it was not just the Chiefs playing the Raiders, but it was the league and what it stands for and the respect that it deserves against these Raiders. I mean, their name says it all, right?
We got 30 more minutes. Let's build our house together. Let's get this thing going. Let's go.
Marty was never shy about his hatred for the silver and black. But come Raider week, it was on full display.
Without question, and any player or coach knew that when Raider week came, Marty had a different demeanor. It was a different week. It was Raider week, and he didn't let anybody forget it.
Everything got turned up a notch for Raider week. There were signs in the elevators. There was signs in the locker room. Raider week, just simply stated Raider week.
Marty would take at least 10 or 15 minutes at every team meeting to talk about the disrespect. They don't respect you. They don't respect you. They don't respect you. Whether warranted or not, that was the fuel for the fire.
He talked with the most hate I've ever heard about another team in my life.
You have dominated them to this point. You have dominated them in the kicking game. We got to dominate them one more play.
He made it very, very personal, and we had a very clear understanding what this game was going to be about.
And I always remember the first team meeting. I went, wow.
Season is hanging. Now let's go.
And I just could not believe all the things that he was saying and meant. And it came from his heart.
Draw the damn thing up and shut him in the damn mouth. Let's go, Chiefs.
And I remember coming out of that meeting. And there was Marcus. He goes, Gunn, come here.
One more series.
Have you figured out why the Raiders can't beat the Chiefs. I went, holy mackerel.
He built it to such a crescendo. You just knew they were just so incredibly focused.
Gotta have a tempo, man. Gotta have a tempo.
You never had a second thought as you followed the team that they were going to lose to the Raiders, even though the Raiders had some good teams. And every year he was able to kind of get their emotions riled up and the compass directed in the right way, and they fed off of that. Players loved it.
There they go.
Three Chiefs goes down in a sea of red.
Marty's motivational tactics were the stuff of legend throughout the NFL. And during this most important week, his creativity knew no limits.
Let's get this rocket.
There were a lot of things behind the scenes that were done to get ready for that game.
Marty would always instruct the players, keep your helmets on at all times. Sometimes things come out of the stands.
Were the Chiefs in a greater danger at Raiders games than any other teams they played? Marty thought so, and that helped perpetuate the rivalry. It was another subtle way in which he set that game apart.
Hey, let's go. This is very brief, man. We want to get the hell out of this dungeon. Listen to me.
I remember one year he had a big sombrero and said, okay, I'm putting the sombrero on one player here that's got to have one of the greatest games he's ever played. And he put it on Derek Thomas's head and said, I'm putting the sombrero on you, Derek. Do your thing on Sunday.
From the pocket. He's hit and sacked.
And Derek did.
By Derek Thomas.
He's hit in the end zone. Derek Thomas.
A fumble on the play. Derek Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Thomas. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Derek Thomas flies in to make the hit on Jeff Hostetler.
When the head coach has all week not smiled, has been extremely focused on how and how bad are we going to beat the Raiders this week and accept nothing less, by game day, they're ready to play.
I don't want to see him jumping back and forth, breaking tackles. Let's tackle a guy.
Keep grinding.
Some coaches will back away from
it. Fighting your ass off. Keep grinding on them.
Because they don't want to expend the emotional energy in two games out of 16. But for Marty, it was special.
Marty's philosophy at that time was somehow, some way, late, they're going to do something that's going to cost them the game.
There's going to be a big ball come out of here in a hurry. Alert our second.
Intercepted by James Hastie. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown to win the game! 62-yard intercepted return! Kansas City wins in overtime! 62-yard!
And it sounds so simplistic. It sounds so black and white. It sounds almost moralistic. And yet, it was true. It happened. It happened time and time and time again. They all knew it had to drive Al Davis crazy to be that close and come up short again and again and again. And so all those cliches about this time it's personal and these teams really don't like each other, all those cliches are true.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by Prime Sport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at primesport.com/Chiefs.
Do you feel there has been a personal vendetta with you?
No question about it. Absolutely. I don't know for what reason, but he told me that he was going to get me. I think he's tried to ruin, you know, the latter part of my career, tried to devalue me. I think he's trying to stop me from going to the Hall of Fame. It's been difficult. I've tried several different private ways to get my behind thrown out of there, but it hasn't worked.
Marcus was an unrestricted free agent in 1993, and he was looking for a team. He also was watching what we were doing, and I kind of knew that when I traded for Joe and we got him, that this really made an impact on Marcus. He called me, said, I will tell you two reasons that I want to come and play for the Chiefs. He said, number one is I get to play against the Raiders and Al Davis twice a year, which I knew. And then he said, the other thing is I've always wanted to play with Joe Montana, and you just made a great trade.
There's no question that Marcus brought another element to the rivalry. Al Davis basically benched him for 4 years. Well, all he really did was extend Marcus's career for 4 more years.
I'm sure you could write a good melodrama about how that happened, but the simplistic view from Kansas City was Bo Jackson, who was helping the Royals, decided that baseball wasn't enough. And then of all the damn places to play football, he's going to play for the Raiders. And suddenly Marcus Allen, this future Hall of Famer, is on the outs. Where better to go if you want to get back at Al Davis than go to Kansas City?
You know, Marcus found a kindred spirit in Marty about the depths of dislike for the Raider organization, how important Raider Week was. Marcus really brought that, I think, to a forefront.
One play at a time.
That game was the equivalent to Marcus Allen of the Super Bowl. Marty knew this, and he was going to feed Marcus Allen the ball absolutely as much as he could.
Marcus Allen, how many superlatives do you have to describe how he's produced against his former team that did not want him?
I imagine that Marcus Allen will be congratulated by a lot of his former teammates from the Raiders. He's still close to many. They appreciate the job that he's done.
It was the Raiders, it was the rivalry, and they really disliked Al Davis a lot.
Most people knew that Marcus wasn't happy with what happened with him in the Raiders organization, but Marcus never really brought it up to us.
He didn't really want us to draw attention and play for him, but that changed when the game started. Marcus was an intense guy as it was.
Marcus Allen, touchdown, Marcus Allen!
That was pure Marcus Allen.
But I never saw a guy getting in more faces. He was all over him, talking more trash than anybody during those games. And he just wanted to crush Al Davis, and he wanted to crush the Raiders.
The players for Oakland respected Marcus. He was one of them. But I think Marcus basically played all those games looking at it. A guy trying to tackle him and seeing Al Davis' face.
Right up the middle, touchdown!
Marcus Allen was probably a guy that a lot of people in this organization really liked because he was sideways with Al Davis before he got out of Raider black and silver. They had the guy that Al Davis seemed to be the most angry with, so giving that guy a chance to go out and succeed and rub it in Al Davis' face, I think Marty and certainly Marcus Allen reveled in doing it.
I saw his face after a couple of those games in I think he enjoyed those games as much as any he played in his whole life.
Since you said it all, we're going to keep this brief. We just simply say thank you. Our team to be mine.
That's one of the great things about one of the great rivalries in the NFL. Playing Al Davis was like a playoff game, and that's one of the things that makes a great rivalry. Pure hatred of another guy.
Although the Chiefs made off with the tail end of a Hall of Fame career,
it's prime time in Kansas City, and the
dominance over their rivals in free agency was no guarantee.
Second down and 10 from the 45-yard line.
Here comes everybody.
Just throws it away.
That should get a flag. Elvis is hurt. And Gerbach is in real pain.
Rich Gannon is loosening up. Gannon has not thrown a pass this season. Gannon on a bootleg. And that should wrap it up as Gannon takes it to the 30-yard line.
One of the surprise teams of this NFL season is the Kansas City Chiefs, 11-3. And for the last 5 games, the Chiefs quarterback has been Rich Gannon.
Gannon, of course, is our starting quarterback now, and Rich is an accomplished professional and, you know, has a winning percentage as a starter.
He starts to play.
Gannon, great job. Way to go.
The team continues to win.
Are you going back to the bench?
Well, I'm sure that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, as I said, Elvis was 7-2 as a starter. I know if I was in the same situation, I'd want to get back in there as well.
When Elvis was in there, they played well. But they have not played the way they had the last couple of weeks against San Francisco and the Raiders. This offense has been at its very best. I do not make a change.
Play wide open. Dean Hughes, touchdown. The Chiefs can take
the lead. I don't envy him on this. This is going to take a guts call. And it really does take courage to change quarterbacks in that situation.
And I know to this day, Marty Schottenheimer will tell you that maybe one of the biggest mistakes he made was to change back to Gerbach at the end of the season for the playoffs.
He is a guy, in my view, that is going to give us, this organization,
an opportunity to continue to improve.
I know Chiefs fans who still feel like that cost the Chiefs a trip to the Super Bowl. I don't even necessarily disagree with those people. Gannon clearly could succeed and excel in the right system.
The Chiefs were trying to re-sign Rich Gannon and keep him with Elvis Gerbach, and the Raiders came in and from reports gave more than twice as much money as anybody else had been talking about. They could not keep Rich Gannon and Elvis Gerbach in a salary cap world.
And now he's with the hated Raiders. I think there were so many guys wearing red jerseys looking across the field and going, I can't really get mad at Rich. He's a good guy.
When he went to the Raiders and then played really well, when he blossomed in Oakland and became a star, I think that's when Rich Gannon became a folk hero. And that was probably the most damning thing to the Marty Schottenheimer era.
The biggest mistake we made is let him go there because he went and told them what we were doing. You know, he went into the locker room and he said, you know, where are the signs? You guys don't even mention this like another game. He said, you don't understand what they're doing over there. And you have no idea how they treat this game. And then they started to beat us because they realized they had to match that intensity. So every loss that I ever had against the Raiders, I blame on Rich Gannon.
I'm all about rivalries. I mean, I got it. I know our fans are going to be completely crazy. I know that. I got it. And our players will be fired up for it. These are special in the National Football League. You know, these type of rivalries, man, it's get your juices flowing and get them flowing early. So black and silver, if anybody's wearing it, be careful.
In the last 10 years, the Raiders really have dominated the Chiefs, have won a lot of games in Arrowhead Stadium. I don't think that escaped the attention of Andy Reid.
Andy arrived in Kansas City disliking the Raiders and knowing what an important rivalry it is. In fact, that's one of the things that we talked about in the interview that we had before I hired him. I mean, he knew about the rivalry and how important it was.
He's been around some rivalries now in Philly, with Philly and Dallas and Philly and New York.
How about those Chiefs?
Did a nice job of letting this younger generation know it's not just another game, it's the Raider week.
7 sacks in this game and a performance the late Derek Thomas would have loved.
The new world record holder, the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Pass to the near side, picked off! Up the sideline, it's Abdullah! Lock it down! And the celebration begins at Arrowhead. Touchdown! It's a hat trick on screen! The promised land for the 5th time in the game. And Jamal Charles is obliterating the Raiders.
To have a rival like that, to have the community rally around the team for an entire week, I think it makes the team better. It's good for football. It's good for Kansas City. It's good for the Chiefs. And I think that played a big role in them coming together as a team and a franchise.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. And by PrimeSport. Get your tickets to the Chiefs tailgate party presented by Bud Light at PrimeSport.com/Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure. Each year, one thing remains constant as the Chiefs make the trip to the Bay. Raider fans, clad in black and silver, are known to make an impression.
I tell people all the time, I love playing in Oakland. I didn't love the smell. The field drains terrible and smells like a sewer.
It's an embarrassment to the National Football League. The stadium is a dump.
And I think the crowd was really what motivated more players than anything else.
These little kids would be flipping you off, and the parents would be all dressed up. And then you look over, and there were the Raiderettes with barely any clothes on. And you look around, and you're like, where am I? You know, what's going on here? And Zotter said, I think we're in hell here. And I said, I think you're right.
Very similar to a zoo and letting the animals out. The costumes were unbelievable, and it wasn't even Halloween.
We get hit with golf balls, 30-06 shells.
They were throwing batteries from the stands on the sideline, and the cops are just standing there looking.
They say certain things, they throw certain things, and then to walk out of there with the win is even all that much better.
No time left on the clock. The Chiefs go 7-0, tackling the Raiders at the 1-yard line.
On the next Chiefs Kingdom.
442nd Fighter Wing, you're about to go do the most important mission there is in the Air Force.
We don't seek out war or combat, but if the country needs U.S. military forces, you want to be the one to go do it.
There are many similarities between a football team and a military unit, a group of people working together for a common goal.
Toss power trap.